English Listening Comprehension Test, Spring 2015, Basic Level. This test is in six parts. Part 6 has separate directions. In parts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer, according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear part 1 twice. First, listen to it straight through.
Good morning. I'm speaking with the ultra-famous fashion designer Tommy Hilfiger today. Tommy, my listeners have a lot of questions for you. The first one is about your fashion show next fall. Couldn't you just do a social media event?
I think it's important to do a show because so many people come to see the show up close and live. They want to see how the clothes look on models. If it's well done, I think it's very worthwhile.
Thinking back for a moment, it took many years for the other fashion giants to give you recognition as a designer. Is that because you started as an ordinary store owner?
No, I think it was the TV advertising campaign we did in the very beginning. We were comparing me to the fashion giants. It sort of put me into a struggle with the fashion giants. I'd say they did not want to accept me into their world.
Well, you haven't been the chairman of Tommy Hilfiger for 12 years. Do you miss it?
It's quite pleasant that I don't have to be in meetings every single day. But I miss it because I'm sort of a control freak, and I would like to be able to make the decisions on every color of every button and so on.
I just have to ask you, is there any fashion trend that should never be seen again?
When I see people wearing clothing with big prints of roses and tulips and so on them, I think they really don't have great taste. Why would you want to wear a print of, say, some rose or orchid, something you see in the wallpaper in an older person's home? Tell me.
Your business has been tied to music trends. Now that musicians have their own lines, has that made it harder for you?
It's interesting, because a lot of these brands have not been really successful. Jennifer Lopez is an exception. And Sean Diddy Combs' line is successful. But Beyoncé wasn't successful with her clothing. Justin Timberlake was not. You know, I'm not too worried.
Tommy, your foundation has put a lot of money into autism research. Why autism research?
It's affected my family. 2 out of my 5 children are autistic. And I see other families struggling with it. I put my money into brain research because someday they'll find that it's some sort of missed connection in the brain.
Thank you for your time, Tommy. It's always great to have you with us.
Now listen to the same radio interview in 3 sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
Good morning. I'm speaking with the ultra-famous fashion designer Tommy Hilfiger today. Tommy, my listeners have a lot of questions for you. The first one is about your fashion show next fall. Couldn't you just do a social media event?
I think it's important to do a show because so many people come to see the show up close and live. They want to see how the clothes look on models. If it's well done, I think it's very worthwhile.
Thinking back for a moment, it took many years for the other fashion giants to give you recognition as a designer. Is that because you started as an ordinary store owner?
No, I think it was the TV advertising campaign we did in the very beginning. We were comparing me to the fashion giants. It sort of put me into a struggle with the fashion giants. I'd say they did not want to accept me into their world.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
Well, you haven't been the chairman of Tommy Hilfiger for 12 years. Do you miss it?
It's quite pleasant that I don't have to be in meetings every single day. But I miss it because I'm sort of a control freak, and I would like to be able to make the decisions on every color of every button and so on.
I just have to ask you, is there any fashion trend that should never be seen again?
When I see people wearing clothing with big prints of roses and tulips and so on them, I think they really don't have great taste. Why would you want to wear a print of, say, some rose or orchid, something you see in the wallpaper in an older person's home? Tell me.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
Your business has been tied to music trends. Now that musicians have their own lines, has that made it harder for you?
It's interesting, because a lot of these brands have not been really successful. Jennifer Lopez is an exception. And Sean Diddy Combs' line is successful. But Beyoncé wasn't successful with her clothing. Justin Timberlake was not. You know, I'm not too worried.
Tommy, your foundation has put a lot of money into autism research. Why autism research?
It's affected my family. 2 out of my 5 children are autistic, and I see other families struggling with it. I put my money into brain research because someday they'll find that it's some sort of missed connection in the brain.
Thank you for your time, Tommy. It's always great to have you with us.
Answer questions 5 and 6. This is the second part of the test. You will hear this radio talk twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Good morning to everyone. This is Sally Peck, and my topic today is American women who marry British men. Now that's a recipe for fireworks. I mean, for repeated arguments. Maybe for a lifetime without a moment of peace whatsoever. American women have been crossing the Atlantic to find husbands for hundreds of years. They come over here to the UK with bright eyes, a pile of cash, and a romantic notion of marrying a dark, well-spoken man, a man who knows how to behave in any situation, but, above all, a man who will fall madly for them. And maybe it works. The strong, silent British type may enjoy the company of a woman who keeps talking from dawn till dusk, and maybe half the night too. But you see, British men have the emotional intelligence of babies, and American women take their own mental health very seriously. By marrying American women, British men will be forced to spend days, probably months, possibly years of their lives speaking aloud with their American wives about their wives' emotions. And right now, they simply aren't able to deal with this side of US women. Then, on the subject of children, British men are bound to disagree. When choosing schools, she'll be looking for academics to educate the precious baby, while he'll want to make sure the school teaches good manners. And he'll trust his mother's judgment in this matter as well, just like everything else. There are some really positive things about British husbands. A British husband will never use that so-called American business language. Such things as let's connect or let's do lunch. Ah, and the wife's American grandmother will think his poetry skills are second to none. Thanks to his old school British education, he can actually repeat good poetry from memory. It's remarkable. But the best thing is that British men won't, that's right, won't watch American football, which is the most boring televised sport on earth. It lasts hours, unlike the British form of football. And this means that the British-American couple will have much more usable time at the weekend. Over the years of marriage, this will add up to extra months of time together. And having real couple time is what it takes to keep a marriage going.
Now listen to the same radio talk in three sections. Look at questions 7 and 8.
Good morning to everyone. This is Sally Peck, and my topic today is American women who marry British men. Now that's a recipe for fireworks. I mean, for repeated arguments. Maybe for a lifetime without a moment of peace whatsoever. American women have been crossing the Atlantic to find husbands for hundreds of years. They come over here to the UK with bright eyes, a pile of cash, and a romantic notion of marrying a dark, well-spoken man, a man who knows how to behave in any situation, but, above all, a man who will fall madly for them. And maybe it works. The strong, silent British type may enjoy the company of a woman who keeps talking from dawn till dusk, and maybe half the night, too.
Answer questions 7 and 8, then look at questions 9 and 10.
But you see, British men have the emotional intelligence of babies, and American women take their own mental health very seriously. By marrying American women, British men will be forced to spend days, probably months, possibly years of their lives speaking aloud with their American wives about their wives' emotions. And right now, they simply aren't able to deal with this side of US women. Then, on the subject of children, British men are bound to disagree. When choosing schools, she'll be looking for academics to educate the precious baby, while he'll want to make sure the school teaches good manners. And he'll trust his mother's judgment in this matter as well, just like everything else.
Answer questions 9 and 10. Look at questions 11 and 12.
There are some really positive things about British husbands. A British husband will never use that so-called American business language, such things as let's connect or let's do lunch. Ah, and the wife's American grandmother will think his poetry skills are second to none. Thanks to his old-school British education, he can actually repeat good poetry from memory. It's remarkable. But the best thing is that British men won't, that's right, won't watch American football, which is the most boring televised sport on earth. It lasts hours, unlike the British form of football. And this means that the British-American couple will have much more usable time at the weekend. Over the years of marriage, this will add up to extra months of time together. And having real couple time is what it takes to keep a marriage going.
Answer questions 11 and 12. This is the third part of the test. You will hear this news report twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Today, as part of our morning program, Sandra Barnes is going to tell us what happened to Tony Sotart.
Tony Sotart is the former mayor of Shawnee. He's 77 years old and last week was up for some reason very early on a morning with a bitterly cold minus 20 degrees Celsius temperature. Tony only had his pajamas on. He ran into trouble while taking his trash out to the roadside. Tony's quick walk outside at around 3:30 a.m. turned into 45 minutes in the bitter cold when he slipped and fell while trying to push his trash can to the street for the pickup later that morning. The former mayor was able to crawl into his garage. He told TV5 News, "I actually crawled inside like a baby. Then I honked the horn, reached up and honked the horn, and I thought for sure that somebody would have heard it, but they didn't." Although there was no response to the car horn, Tony's other calls for help were answered by an alert newspaper delivery man, Jeff Stockwell. Jeff was delivering the Shawnee Star newspaper to houses that were not on his normal route. He was only doing this route to help out a sick friend who ordinarily worked this route. But Tony's family is grateful for the chance assignment because Jeff was nearby at around 4 a.m. when he heard what he thought were cries from a cat. Jeff said, "By the time I made the turn around and came back, I saw the garage doors were open. I saw a trash can strangely turned sideways in the driveway, and you just had one of those feelings like something's not right." So Jeff got out of his truck and found Tony in his coat lying on the floor of the garage. Jeff immediately called 911, then he helped Tony back into the house. In a few minutes, the ambulance and paramedics arrived and took Tony to the hospital. Luckily, Tony was rescued before frostbite took hold. When his body temperature was measured at the hospital, it had fallen to 34 degrees Celsius. The 77-year-old's fingers were puffy and blistered by the cold. In addition to treating his fingers, the hospital treated him for aches and pains. As a safety measure, because of his age, Tony was admitted to the intensive care unit overnight for observation. Doctors believe he will be okay, with no long-term problems resulting from being out in the extreme cold. Tony said he was glad Jeff came along, that he doesn't know whether he would have made it otherwise.
Now listen to the same news report in three sections. Look at questions 13 and 14.
Tony Sotart is the former mayor of Shawnee. He's 77 years old and last week was up for some reason very early on a morning with a bitterly cold minus 20 degrees Celsius temperature. Tony only had his pajamas on. He ran into trouble while taking his trash out to the roadside. Tony's quick walk outside at around 3:30 a.m. turned into 45 minutes in the bitter cold when he slipped and fell while trying to push his trash can to the street for the pickup later that morning. The former mayor was able to crawl into his garage. He told TV5 News, "I actually crawled inside like a baby. Then I honked the horn, reached up and honked the horn, and I thought for sure that somebody would have heard it, but they didn't."
Answer questions 13 and 14, then look at questions 15 and 16.
Although there was no response to the car horn, Tony's other calls for help were answered by an alert newspaper delivery man, Jeff Stockwell. Jeff was delivering the Shawnee Star newspaper to houses that were not on his normal route. He was only doing this route to help out a sick friend who ordinarily worked this route. But Tony's family is grateful for the chance assignment because Jeff was nearby at around 4 a.m. when he heard what he thought were cries from a cat. Jeff said, "By the time I made the turn around and came back, I saw the garage doors were open. I saw a trash can strangely turned sideways in the driveway, and you just had one of those feelings like something's not right." So Jeff got out of his truck and found Tony in his coat lying on the floor of the garage.
Answer questions 15 and 16. Look at questions 17 and 18.
Jeff immediately called 911, then he helped Tony back into the house. In a few minutes, the ambulance and paramedics arrived and took Tony to the hospital. Luckily, Tony was rescued before frostbite took hold. When his body temperature was measured at the hospital, it had fallen to 34 degrees Celsius. The 77-year-old's fingers were puffy and blistered by the cold. In addition to treating his fingers, the hospital treated him for aches and pains. As a safety measure, because of his age, Tony was admitted to the intensive care unit overnight for observation. Doctors believe he will be okay, with no long-term problems resulting from being out in the extreme cold. Tony said he was glad Jeff came along, that he doesn't know whether he would have made it otherwise.
Answer questions 17 and 18. This is the fourth part of the test. In this part, you will hear four short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 19.
Were you at the hot dog eating contest at the university yesterday?
Sure. Didn't you see me? I saw you. Those were some hot dogs.
Yeah, 20-foot-long hot dogs. They weighed over 6 pounds apiece, and the challenge was that one person should eat the whole hot dog.
And that was all for charity. It was for the Children's Art Center. They raised over $7,000 to help teach art to poor children. There were hundreds of people there, but only 12 contestants.
And the university president, Susan Martin, was one of them. She didn't finish her hot dog, though.
Answer question 19. Look at question 20.
Have you heard about the family of Scottish farmers who swim their cows to fresh pastures?
No, can't say I have.
Yes, it says here that a family of Scottish cattle farmers say that they are the very last to keep up the ancient tradition of swimming their cows to an island for fresh grass. Ian MacDonald and his family swim their cows from their farm to an island. It usually takes the animals about 10 minutes. And to make sure that nothing goes wrong, one of the men strips down and takes to the water with them. The rest of the family follow in a boat, and they drive them across every winter.
I'll bet the water's cold.
What do you expect? The farm's in Scotland.
Answer question 20, then look at question 21.
That math teacher had a good idea.
Yeah, someone sent the story to me on Facebook. If I remember correctly, his class was making a lot of noise, and he told them to be quiet.
And they didn't pay any attention. So he asked how many watched Game of Thrones. Almost every student raised their hand. So the teacher said he had read the books.
And he'd ruined the story for them by telling the names of those killed off in the next season on TV. Unless they were quiet and worked on their math problems.
Of course, they didn't believe him. They kept up their terrible screaming. So he wrote two names on the blackboard, and they went quiet immediately.
The teacher then said he'd tell them how and where those characters were killed unless they stayed quiet.
Well, I'll bet they stayed quiet.
Answer question 21. Look at question 22.
Phil, listen to this. Sally sent me a great link. Love is in the air at Great Yarmouth Sea Life Centre after a lonely fish fell for a plastic toy.
Fell in love with a plastic toy?
Yes, it fell for a plastic toy that dropped into her tank. The fish and the toy look very much alike, and now the fish is eating her food. In the last few weeks, she's gained several grams. She'd been doing rather poorly before.
Well, they say opposites attract.
But these two look really similar. Isn't that sweet?
Well...
Answer question 22. This is the fifth part of the test. In this part, you will hear four podcasts from a school's internet site. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 23.
Your geography homework for tomorrow is from Chapter 6. Pay particular attention to the details on the economy of the various countries in Asia and to how these Asian countries trade with each other and the world.
Answer question 23. Look at question 24.
We need to start plans for a parents' evening next month. I'd need some volunteers to serve on a planning committee, preferably four of you. Many of the things done at the parents' evening are traditional, but our school really makes an effort to come up with new items for the programme every year. So I need volunteers who have ideas.
Answer question 24, then look at question 25.
Due to water damage in the school gymnasium, physical education classes will be cancelled for the rest of the week. Apparently, the pipe started leaking a few days ago, and the health authorities have shut it down until the pipes in the showers are fixed and the water damage cleared up. But gym classes next week will be held outdoors if the weather permits. Let's hope for sunny weather.
Answer question 25. Look at question 26.
Where were all of you when we had the fire drill yesterday? You were supposed to gather around your classroom teachers in the schoolyard, but half of you were missing. The headmaster went through the school building after the fire alarm had sounded and didn't find anyone. So now I've got to get some answers. Fire drills are extremely important for the safety of the school.
Answer question 26. This is the sixth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate piece of news. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A, listen to this section.
In Melbourne, Australia, a British man was accused of stealing and swallowing a rare pink diamond worth £135,000 from a jewellery shop. He was arrested and appeared in court. The police x-rays of the man didn't prove anything, but the jewellery shop's security video showed a different man running away with the diamond after being shown it in the shop. A pink diamond. I wonder if the thief should be called the Pink Panther.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
In Melbourne, Australia, a British man was accused of stealing and swallowing a rare pink diamond worth £135,000 from a jewellery shop. He was arrested and appeared in court. The police X-rays of the man didn't prove anything, but the jewellery shop's security video showed a different man running away with the diamond after being shown it in the shop. A pink diamond. I wonder if the thief should be called the Pink Panther.
Read question B. Question B, listen to this section.
Just when you think you're free, there's a strong chance you end up, like me, with the parents. My parents are good at offering advice, but they also understand my decisions. Occasionally, I need some extra advice. For example, before I took a work assignment in France, I was fearful of working in a foreign language. But after a word of reassurance from my parents, I was convinced, and all the better for it now.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Just when you think you're free, there's a strong chance you end up, like me, with the parents. My parents are good at offering advice, but they also understand my decisions. Occasionally, I need some extra advice. For example, before I took a work assignment in France, I was fearful of working in a foreign language. But after a word of reassurance from my parents, I was convinced, and all the better for it now.
Read question C. Question C, listen to this section.
It is claimed that two people impersonated FBI officers. Would you believe that they pretended to hire people to come and work for them at the FBI? And they got people to pay hundreds of dollars in advance for training. And the two were silly enough to think they could get away with it.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
It is claimed that two people impersonated FBI officers. Would you believe that they pretended to hire people to come and work for them at the FBI? And they got people to pay hundreds of dollars in advance for training. And the two were silly enough to think they could get away with it.
Read question D. Question D, listen to this section.
It's been held every year but one since 2003. That is, the world's longest lunch in Marysville. It's special because it lasts for over 10 hours. But the 2009 longest lunch in Marysville didn't take place. The town was nearly destroyed by the Black Saturday bushfires that burnt across the state of Victoria. These bushfires ruined thousands of homes and resulted in 173 deaths. Fortunately, some buildings remained.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
It's been held every year but one since 2003. That is, the world's longest lunch in Marysville. It's special because it lasts for over 10 hours. But the 2009 longest lunch in Marysville didn't take place. The town was nearly destroyed by the Black Saturday bushfires that burnt across the state of Victoria. These bushfires ruined thousands of homes and resulted in 173 deaths. Fortunately, some buildings remained.
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
A major consumer rights group carried out a survey of 2,000 people by email. The results show the most popular way to complain is by email. In the past year, 6 in 10 people made a complaint. That means well over half. Of those who made a complaint, most complained by email, followed by phone. Let's see now. What could I complain about today? The weather, maybe?
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
A major consumer rights group carried out a survey of 2,000 people by email. The results show the most popular way to complain is by email. In the past year, 6 in 10 people made a complaint. That means well over half. Of those who made a complaint, most complained by email, followed by phone. Let's see now. What could I complain about today? The weather, maybe?
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number and the name and number of your school. In addition, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.